Amen. I'd like to invite you, if you would, please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We've been studying about families, biblical basics for a blessed home. I want to remind you that when we talk about the blessings that God gives to our homes, this is not a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that I'm preaching today. So just so you know, that's not what this is. This is about putting ourselves in a position to be what God wants us to be, to do what He wants us to do. Listen, I want, first and foremost, for my children and for your children, for them to know Christ and be known by Christ, for them to have eternal life, for them to be obedient to the gospel. And if we're going to have a blessed home, we have to have a home where everybody's going to heaven. And so we want to center our homes around the Word of God. We're talking about the blessings of God. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm talking about God's going to give you more money or more things. That's not really what it's about. As a matter of fact, Jesus has called us to give up those things and to not love the things of this world, but that we would let go of everything to grab hold of Him and follow Him. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about your best life now. I'm talking about laying up treasures in heaven. Okay, nobody's excited about the message anymore. All right. So good. You need to hear this today. It is Mother's Day, and I'm so thankful for mothers. And I know I've shared this with you before, but it's the one time a year I get to share it with you. I want to share with you some lessons that I learned from my mother before we get into the message. And some of you learned the same lessons from your mom, I know, because I've heard you passing them on to your own children. Lessons I learned from my mother. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She said, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me about religion. You better pray that that comes out of the carpet. My mother taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me logic because I said so. That's why. My mother taught me more logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you're not going to the store with me. My mother taught me irony. Keep crying. I'll give you something to cry about. Yeah, you know that one, don't you? My mother taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Amen. My mother taught me about stamina. You're going to sit there until all of that spinach is gone. My mother taught me about the weather. Your room looks like a tornado went through it. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who do not have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. I got to be honest with you, that's not really mine. My mom never said that. Never. It was just the anticipation of having to go get the belt and bring it back to her. That's how my mom taught me about anticipation. My mother taught me medical advice. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to get stuck that way. My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. My mother taught me about where I came from. Shut that door behind you. You think you were born in a barn? And my mother, bless her heart, she taught me about justice. One day, you're going to have children. And I hope they turn out just like you. I love Mother's Day. I think it's a special thing because fellas and kids, moms do so much for us that we don't thank them enough. It ought to make you feel guilty today because you realize you focus on them today and want to be kind to them. So much of the time we don't give them the thanks, and we do give them a lot of grief. A little girl noticed that her mom had several strands of white hair sticking out, and she asked her mom, "Mom, why are some of your hairs white?" And her mom said, "Well, honey, that's because every time you do something wrong or make me cry or unhappy, one of my hairs turns white." The little girl thought for a minute and she said, How come all of Grandma's hairs are white? Amen. That's good. Yeah. Well, I want to ask you if you're able to stand. I want to talk to you today about having a family of faith. We spent a little bit of time last week talking about the Bible. Listen, the Bible that most of you are holding in your hand right now, it is the Word of God. Amen. It's the living Word of God. It's not just some book. It is, yes, it was penned by men. God used human authors. But God, there's only one author of the Bible. It's God. It's every scripture is God-breathed. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all His Word. And so we need to build our homes on the Word of God. We need to center our homes around the Word of God. And I admonished you last week that you read the Bible at home every day, that you study the Bible every day, that as a family you gather around. There ought to be a time every single day as a family that you get together around the Word of God and you read it and you discuss it and you pray. And if you're not doing that, I plead with you to do that, because I promise you, you will not have a home that's blessed by God without His Word. Amen. And just getting it a little bit on Sundays and Wednesdays isn't enough. You need it every day. And so this biblical basis for a blessed home has to be built on the Word of God. But if we don't believe God, and if we don't believe His Word, it will help us in no way at all. It accomplishes nothing. So we must believe His Word. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is faith. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Will you look down at verse 6, please? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Our Heavenly Father, please bless Your Word today. As we've read it, I pray that it would sink down into our ears and find place and root in our hearts, that we would grow in Your grace and knowledge today. Please bless every family represented. Father, I know that everyone's in a different place in their walk with You. I know there are some here who have never been saved, and I pray today that they would repent of their sin and unbelief, that they would trust in Jesus, that this morning they would cry out to You in prayer and ask You to forgive their sins and ask You to be their Savior. They would just trust in the finished work of Christ alone to save them. Pray for those that are saved, never been baptized. They'd follow You in baptism and serve You faithfully in the church. And I pray for all of us, that we would hear, believe, and obey Your Word today. And that we would hear, believe, and obey Your Word every day. Father, forgive us and help us. Please help me now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. The Word of God tells us that the just shall live by faith. We, if we're going to be justified, if we're going to be made right with God, we have to be alive by faith. The just shall live by faith. The life that we have in Christ, eternal life, comes by faith. And so the just are made alive through faith. But it goes beyond that. The just shall live by faith. After we believe in Him and we're given life, we're made alive through faith in Christ, then we live by that faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so as a family, we need to learn to do that. Family is a blessing from God. And Satan is attacking the family and everything about it. Marriage is under attack. And we see all the things going on in our country today. And people thinking that marriage just doesn't matter anymore. And all of those things that we face. Divorce rates, the numbers of divorces have gone down because the numbers of marriages have gone down. But the percentages still remain the same. I want you to know the family is under attack. And if we're going to have a family that's blessed by God, then our lives and our homes have to be built on and centered around the Word of God. Amen. But to hear the Word of God is not the same as believing the Word of God. And if we believe the Word of God, then we'll live by the Word of God. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Listen, we got to get the word of God in our families, but the word of God won't help you, and it won't help your family if you don't believe it. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, I can stand up here and preach to you the truth today. You could go home and open your Bible and read it, and it's the truth. But if you don't believe it, then it's not going to matter. Amen. You have to believe the word of God. If we're going to come to God, we have to believe. We have to believe that he is. Now, believing that he is in our verse today does not mean that we just believe that there's a God, but we believe what this book says about God. That what God has revealed to us through his word, that's what I believe about God. I don't just believe in a God. I hear people all the time say things like, well, my God would never send anyone to hell. You're absolutely right, because you've created a God in your mind that doesn't exist. The God of the Bible will send people to hell, everyone who rejects his son, Jesus Christ, who continue in their unbelief. Everyone who has sinned against him and has not come to faith in Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. That's what the word of God says. That's God as revealed in the Bible. So we must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The subject of faith is greatly misunderstood in the world today. Amen. People think that faith itself is all you really need without considering the object of that faith. People say things like, believe in yourself, trust your heart, follow your dreams, just believe in fate, just know everything will work out. And all of those expressions, they sound really nice and they're warm and fuzzy, but they couldn't be more wrong. They're incredibly shallow, ridiculously foolhardy, and undoubtedly will lead to disappointment. Amen. Listen, have you not ever heard those things? All you need is faith. Just believe. You can believe, and a lot of people, studies have been done, clinical studies have been done about the effects of faith and prayer and how it helps people. I want you to understand something today. Just believing something is not going to help you if the object of your belief doesn't exist. Amen. If you've created a God in your mind and you have faith in that God, it's not going to help you. If you have a piece of wood that's been carved into a God and you pray to that God and you believe in that God, it's not going to help you. It's a piece of wood. Right. Just trying to tell you today that faith alone is nothing. The object of our faith is what matters. Listen, I need you to get this, because I want to talk to you about faith today. I want to talk to you about believing. I'm going to talk to you that there is a responsibility for man to believe, to have faith, to trust. But I'm telling you that that's not really the focus. We're going to talk about it, but that's not really the focus. The focus is the object of our faith, and that's God. Amen. That's the only reason it matters. That's the only reason it works. It's the only reason it's going to change anything, is because our faith is in the God who created all things. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And when we believe in that God who created all things, we believe in that God who became a man and lived a sinless life, we believe in that God who died on the cross to pay for our sins, we believe in that God who laid down his life and took up his life again, we believe in that God, then it matters. Amen. Faith in anything else is worthless. One of the foundational basics you need for your home to be blessed by God is faith, and faith is only as good as the object of it. Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You know, God chose Abraham. Of all the people that were alive in the days of Abraham, he chose Abraham. He chose him to call him out of his home country, to send him to a place that he would later tell him of. And this is the reason God chose him. Genesis 18:19, God said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." You see, God knew how Abraham would respond before he called him. And here's what I want you to see today. God already knows how you're going to respond even to this message. God knows how you're going to respond to the next time you open your Bible and study it at home when you do your family devotionals. He knows how you're going to respond. And I wonder, when he looks at you, does he know you? Amen. And does he know that you're going to lead your family in the right way? Does he know that you're going to be the man that God's called you to be, the mom that God's called you to be, the child that God's called you to be? He knows. But what does he know about you? And it all depends on this. Will you believe the promises of God? See, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's the reason everything worked the way it did. That's the reason that Abraham's the father of the faith. That's the reason we look to him as an example. He's not perfect, but we look to him as an example because, not because Abraham's faith was so great, he just believed God was so great. Amen. You get that? When God called Abraham to kill Isaac, that's one of the first Bible studies I ever did on my own, Brother Terry, because my name's Isaac, and I want to know about Isaac. And the Isaac comes from the Bible. I remember when I was a kid growing up, people were like, "Oh, it's a good Bible name, good Bible name." So you get your Bible and you look up Isaac. He's got a great legacy. His dad almost killed him. Amen. I mean, Isaac's not a great Bible character. It's like you expect more from the promised son, right? There's not a lot in there. But we have this. When God called Abraham, when he tested him, he said, "I want you to take the son of promise and I want you to kill him." He was ready to do it. Amen. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Isaac came back from the dead. He was as good as dead. He was as good as dead. But Abraham had no idea what God was going to do, but he knew that God had made a promise and that there was going to be a great nation made from Isaac. And so he was willing to kill him because he thought God would raise him from the dead again. He trusted God. It wasn't that Abraham's faith was so great. It's that the object of his faith is so great. What is faith? Well, we read in verse 1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And many times the teachings, especially in Hebrews, but all through the New Testament, use something that scholars call Hebraisms. In other words, they use the way the rabbis used to teach, the kind of traditional way of teaching. And a lot of times they would do this. They would say the same thing, really close to the same thing, a couple of times. So there's not a lot of difference, really, between the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. They very closely mean the same thing, but he's reinforcing a truth. So what is it? Well, it's substance. Substance is a compound word. It literally means setting under. It's the idea of a foundation, something that holds something up. That's what substance is. It concretely, it means the essence of something, and abstractly, it means assurance or confidence. And that's the way we most see it in the New Testament. It's translated confidence. This is our confidence. This is that we know. We know. Amen. We know that the things that we're hoping for are going to happen. Amen. That's what faith is. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25 says, "We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And that's what it is. Hope is what we can't see. I have hope in my heart. I know I'm going to be in heaven one day when I die. I'm going to kneel before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll see him face to face. I know my Redeemer lives. Amen. And I'll see him on the earth. Why? Because he promised. Why? I've told you before, and you need to remember today, that biblical hope is not the kind of hope people have down at the casino. That's not biblical hope. Everybody going in the convenience store trying to hit the Powerball, they're hoping. That's not the kind of hope the Bible has. Amen. Just to help you out, that's just a waste of money. Amen. But biblical hope is based on the promise of God. It's an earnest expectation. I know what God is going to do, what he said he would do. Amen. It's substance. It's concrete. It's something that we spiritually have a hold of, that's real for us in our hearts. Amen. Because it's based on the Word of God. It's It's the evidence of things not seen. Evidence means proof. It's used a couple of different ways in the New Testament. It's convict, like conviction, or convince, to be persuaded to believe something. And that's what it is. It's the evidence of things that we can't see yet. I've never seen God, but I know God. I've never seen the Spirit of God, but I know the Spirit of God. He's in me. So I've never seen heaven, but I know I'm going to go there one day. So it's the evidence of things that we can't see. I want you to not only know what faith is, but I want you to know what faith isn't. Sometimes it helps us to understand something better, to understand what it's not. Faith, biblical faith, isn't blind. There are a lot of people that have this idea, and I read this and it was helpful to me. I want you to listen to this. This guy says, as I speak around the country, I often encounter devoted, committed Christians who are hesitant to embrace an evidential faith. In many Christian circles, faith that requires evidential support is seen as weak and inferior. For many, blind faith, a faith that simply trusts without question, is the truest, most sincere, and most valuable form of faith we can offer God. Yet Jesus seemed to have a high regard for evidence. In John 14:11, he told those watching him to examine the evidence of the miracles that he had done. If they didn't believe what he said about his identity, they could believe for the very work's sake. Even after the resurrection, Jesus stayed with his disciples for an additional 40 days and provided them with many infallible proofs. Amen. That he was resurrected and who he was, and that he was who he claimed to be. Jesus understood the role and value of evidence and the importance of developing an evidential faith. And it's time for us, all Christians, to develop a similar, reasonable faith. In John 14, I mentioned, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe for the very work's sake. So this is not a blind faith. We look into the Word of God. We see what God has done. We see who He is, and we believe because of that evidence. It's not a blind faith. He showed Himself alive, Acts 1:3. He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Listen, Luke said, we are eyewitnesses. John said, we are eyewitnesses. We saw him. We touched him. We handled the risen Savior. There's evidence to believe. It's not a blind faith. It's not a blind faith. Listen to me. It's a biblical faith. Amen. What you believe about this book may be the most important question in your life. This is the foundation for everything that we believe. We say it's the all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. This is everything for what we believe and what we do. It's right here in this book. If you believe that this book is the Word of God, it's going to change your life. You're going to conform to it. You're going to say, well, God Himself, the God of heaven, the Almighty Creator of all things, has given His Word, and I'm going to line my life up with what He says. Or, if you don't believe it's God's word, then you're going to go a completely different way. Believe it. Faith isn't blind, and it's also, it's not this. It's not wishing really, really hard. A friend of mine just said it the other day. He said, I still struggle sometimes with thinking that and reminding myself that faith isn't just closing my eyes, shutting my eyes really hard and just trying to believe harder. Faith isn't just wishing really, really hard, hoping really, really hard. That's not what faith is. Greg Kuchel said this, the idea that I just take Christianity on blind faith attitude can't be the right approach. It leaves the Bible without defense, yet Peter directs us to make a defense for the hope that is in us. Also, the biblical word for faith doesn't mean wishing. It means active trust. And trust cannot be conjured up or manufactured. It must be given by God. You can't exercise the kind of faith the Bible has in mind unless you're reasonably sure that some particular things are true. In fact, I suggest you completely ban the phrase leap of faith from your vocabulary. Biblical faith is based on knowledge, not wishing or blind leaps. Knowledge builds confidence, and confidence leads to trust. The kind of faith that God is interested in is not wishing. It's trust based on knowing. It's a sure confidence grounded in the evidence of the Word of God. I have confidence that this is God's word. I have confidence that what he says is true. And that confidence leads me to have faith. Amen. Faith that God wants us to have is a faith that grows. Amen. When Jesus talked about faith, he said that faith was like a grain of mustard seed. Have any of you ever seen a grain of mustard seed? It's very small. Amen. You take that grain of mustard seed and Jesus, when he talked about it, he said it's very small and yet it grows into something very big, the biggest of all the herbs in the garden. And so the idea is that our faith, it may begin small, but biblical faith grows. Amen. Because the more I know him, the more confidence I have in him, and the more I trust him. Amen. If you've been saved for any length of time, you ought to trust God more now than you did in the beginning. Biblical faith is a growing faith. So why is faith so important? Would you look at verse 6 again? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. For he that cometh to God must believe. I want you to know today that you can't come to God, you can't know God and be known of God without faith. Would you look at 2 Timothy 3? 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. You get it? He's given us his word. He inspired it. He breathed it out to help us. And the first thing that the scriptures help us with is to know him by faith in Jesus Christ. Learn the scriptures, know the scriptures, trust the word of God, because that's where you're going to know him. Hey, listen to me. There's too many parents who claim to be Christians who never give their children the gospel in their home. It shouldn't be that way. Amen. Listen, if you bring your kids to Calvary, I'm going to preach the gospel from this pulpit. If I ever stop preaching the gospel from right here, you need to get rid of me. Amen. Amen. Our Sunday school teachers on Sunday mornings and our Wednesday night teachers are going to teach your children the gospel. If I ever find out that they're not giving your kids the gospel, they won't be teaching anymore. If you bring them here, we're going to give them the gospel. But friends, that's not enough. How can a mom or a dad who claims to believe the gospel, claims to believe that their faith is in Christ and that's how they're getting to heaven, not bother to pass that on to their own children? If you're not giving your kids the gospel at home, friends, you need to wake up. If you think they're going to get enough of it here, you're wrong. I promise, they're not getting it from the TV shows you let them watch. They're not getting it from social media. And they got their own set of social media. A lot of you folks in here are Facebook people, some of you Instagram, but these kids have a whole other set of stuff with a whole other set of dangers. And I promise you, they're not getting the gospel from Snapchat. If they're going to get it, they're going to have to get it from you. Amen. God help us if we don't even give the gospel to our own children. From a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, what happened? Well, guess what? Timothy had an awesome mom and grandma who loved Jesus and taught the gospel to Timothy. That faith was in his grandmother and in his mother, and it was in him because they taught him at home. Timothy didn't have a Sunday school class, people. He didn't have Wednesday night youth group. But he had a mom and a grandma who loved him enough to give him the gospel. Our families are not going to know him without faith. then they're not going to have faith in him unless they hear the word of God. I'm not talking about worldly faith here. I'm not talking about Americanized Christianity. I'm talking about biblical faith in Christ alone. Listen to me. I want you to look at verses Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. This is really important. We started with this. Now the just shall live by faith. If you're going to have life in Christ, it's going to be by faith. You trust in him. Not by works, but by faith. Everybody with me? You can't get to heaven by being good. You have to trust in Jesus because he alone is good. The just shall live by faith, and so we have life through that, and then we live our lives by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Look at verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Did you know that there is a way you can believe in Jesus and not have your soul saved? Did you know that you can believe in him up here just like the devils believe and tremble? You can have a head knowledge, a belief in God, a belief in Jesus. You can even believe he died on the cross and still end up in hell. Amen. I'm telling you today that there needs to be a faith, a real, genuine faith, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, that it's all him and nothing of yourself. It's all him, not your baptism. It's all him, not your church. It's all him, not in the way you do good works. It's all him. It's him alone. And my faith is on Christ alone. Amen. If we're going to understand today why faith is so important, you need to understand that's the only way that we can know him. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." When you heard the gospel, the word of God, you believed it, and he gave you his Spirit who lives inside of you, and now you know that you know that you're saved. How many of you do today? Just, you don't have to raise your hand or anything. Just look in your heart. I know. I know I'm saved. Amen. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I know. Because my faith is in Christ alone. Amen. When I trusted him, I was born again. His Spirit came and he lives inside of me. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. I know. And it's all him. Faith is important because that's how we know him. Faith is important because it's the only way we can please him. In Hebrews 11:6, we read, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And if you're born again, God's going to do something inside of you that's going to give you a desire to seek him, a desire to know him. He will make you a man or a woman after God's own heart, pursuing him. You'll be like Paul, who said that I may know him in the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. You're going to get something inside of you that says, I want to know the one who died for me and rose again. You'll diligently seek him. It's interesting. In verse 5, it says that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had this testimony, but what the Old Testament says about him is that Enoch had this testimony. Enoch walked with God. Amen. You can't please God without faith. And we look at the example of Enoch. He pleased God because he walked with God. And we've got to walk by faith. So how are we going to have families that are families of faith? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to have a family of faith, your family needs to hear the word of God. You need to be faithful in church? Yes, of course. We're here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We gather, open the word of God. There's an opportunity to hear the word of God right here all the time. We have our Bibles that we ought to read at home. Somebody told me the other day that they listen to their Bible on their way to work every morning. They got to drive, nothing else, put on their Bible app, push play, and listen to the Word of God on their way to work. That's great. Listen, we are without excuse. We need to hear the Word of God. We've got to read it. We've got to listen to it. We've got to listen to preaching. We've got to be faithful to hear the Word of God. We've got to gather our families around the Word of God so our children can hear the Word of God. We've got to be diligent to teach them all the time the truth of the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we looked at it last week. If we're going to have families of faith, we've got to hear the Word of God, then we've got to believe what we hear. Your kids need to know that this book is the Word of God. It's not just a book of stories. There's more truth in one verse of this Bible than all of the science textbooks in the world put together. Amen. Do you hear me? Amen. And your kids need to know that. They need to know that they don't come to church to hear little Bible stories and then they go to school to learn truth. That's not right. Listen, those science books have changed. The earth's gotten like 4 billion years older just since I graduated. Science books change all the time. That's the nature of it. But God is unchanging. Amen. And your kids need to know that this book is true. So they need to hear it and they need to believe it. Amen. And then we need to exercise it. Somebody tell me how you grow muscle. Anybody know? Nobody in here knows? There's this thing people do, Wayne. You may have heard of it. It's called exercise. I always thought it was a bad word. My Bible even says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Brother Bildon says, amen. You know how you grow faith? You exercise faith. You come up against something, you get scared to death. I don't know about you, but fear is common in me. I get afraid of things, and I get afraid, then I get angry, and then I get bitter, and then I get... it's just not good for me. We have these moments of crisis in our life where everything's going along, and we kind of feel like everything's under control, and then all of a sudden something happens. We get derailed, and we get afraid, and we get fearful, and we're not trusting. And we've got to come to a place where we say, you know what, God's in control. Today, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to walk with the Lord, I'm going to try to do what He wants me to do, I'm going to follow every impulse of the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to do what He's called me to do, and all the rest of it's in His hands. I can't control what you do. I can't control what the government does. I can't control what society does. I can't control whether the news media is fake news or real news. I can't control what my wife does. I have a limited amount of influence over what my children do. I want to have them in subjection with all gravity. I want to be able to be qualified to be your pastor. But I'm just saying that there's a limit to what you can do. Amen. And we've got to be faithful in what we can do and leave the rest to God. Amen. And trust Him because He's in control. And that's what it boils down to. Faith is simply trusting. It's active trust. I trust that God is who He says He is. And I trust that God's going to do what He says He's going to do. And I don't know. I'm not telling you if you have faith in God that you're never going to get sick. I'm not telling you if you have faith in God that somebody you love isn't going to die. I'm not telling you if you have faith in God you're going to make more money. I'm not telling you if you have stupid enough faith to give me all your money that I'm not going to go buy a jet. Because if you gave me all your money, I might go buy a jet. That's not the kind of faith we're talking about. Amen. I'm telling you that no matter what your circumstances are, you can trust Him. Amen. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation while they come. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. I told you just a little while ago that my cousin Scotty died. And he is a perfect example of what I'm trying to tell you about. Last summer, his dad died. And I went to visit with the family, and I was sitting there with Scotty. He'd been battling cancer for a while, and it was the first time I'd had a chance to talk to Scotty in years and years. And I sit down with the intention of making sure that Scotty was saved. And as soon as we got into the gospel, you could just see the joy in his eyes because he had gotten saved a couple of years ago. Amen. Now listen, he's battling cancer. He's sick. There's nothing the doctors around here could do. He fought it as hard as he could. He went down to Mexico for treatments. He was doing anything he could possibly do. But I want you to know this. Through it all, he kept his faith in God. Because his circumstances weren't great. He wasn't going to get to see his grandkids grow up. But he was trusting God. Amen. See, that's the faith I'm talking about. Because listen to me. Those little kids are going to grow up, and the only thing they're going to remember much about their Grandpa Scotty are the pictures and videos they get to see. And that's sad. But Scotty is in the presence of Jesus Christ right now. Amen. It's not about here. It's about forever. If you've never been born again, I plead with you today. I told you that I know I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm good. It's because I trusted Christ. If you don't know 100% for sure you're going to heaven, I plead with you to come and be saved today. Trust in Jesus. You don't even have to come up here. Just cry out to him right where you're standing. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you need to identify with Christ. You need to let the world know Jesus is my Savior. I want to walk with him. I want to live for him. Whatever burden might be in your heart, whatever need you or your family might have today, listen to me. Trust in God. Trust him. And as his Spirit leads today, obey him. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.
Page 5.